It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Zach and Josh on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Friday, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. Hope you're having a wonderful 5th of July as well. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, here with you until 3 o'clock today.
I was having a good day until you spelled my name wrong.
I did. I spelled your last name wrong.
Many times.
I've spelled
everyone. To be fair, everyone spells it wrong, but you did it in the most egregious way.
I don't think I did it in the most egregious way.
Everyone always puts, okay, for those that don't know, my last name has one T in it. S-C-H-M-I-T. No D, no T, no Z, no nothing. Everyone puts two T's in it. Zach puts a D in it.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't really know where that one came from. I'm not really sure. I have no other response to that other than I'm not
like
really
I said,
sure where that came
my,
from, man.
My name is random. I get it. But, come on.
Exactly.
We've known each other for 3 years.
I know. It's bad form. It's bad form.
No, it's fine, though.
We do
it's
have
funny.
Wimbledon on the TV here. I do want to start with this because me and you said it on Wednesday. We're not really tennis people, but
no.
Wimbledon is kind of... We're trying to get into it.
I don't understand half of what's happening here.
No, but
because
I'm
like
totally
right now,
in.
So we're watching Alcaraz and TFO.
Yes,
that's I think how we say their names. TFO is the American, and he just had a serve where he hit it into the net, but he didn't lose points. And I feel like you should definitely lose points for that because you messed up.
See, I will say though, and the more I've watched this, it has been like, eh. They all like mess up like their first serves, and it's like, all right, this is why we're carrying a second tennis ball in our pocket. The whole thing.
Well, yeah,
I'm fine with that. They want the volleys. I'm
you're
cool
professional.
With that. Yes.
Come on.
But man, I have been locked into this.
Oh, he's got a layout.
I'm not a tennis guy by any means. Like you were saying too. You know, we're learning the rules as we go here. But the competition aspect of it, and we were talking about it right here in the break, right before we came on. These
Ooh.
Two have been playing since like 9:30, 10 in the morning. It's 12 now, and we're on the final set. This is for the match. Is it Alcaraz?
Alcaraz is how I say it.
Alcaraz, he is the number 3rd ranked player in the world. Tiafoe, I believe, is 29.
He is.
He's only had one win in his career over a top 3 ranked player in the world in a major, and it was against Nadal in 2022.
Oh, so and that's a pretty good person to have a win over.
He's got a pretty good win, but it's been lockstep. Like, each one has won a set after the other. No one has really been able to take like a commanding lead. We just had a tiebreaker set when they were both tied at 6 following the fourth set, and Alcaraz took it pretty handedly. But even now, like you're seeing, like, it's been very, very close. I've been locked into this. We have Euro games going on literally right now.
I don't care.
Germany versus Spain. Yeah, and I don't care.
How much of this is because Tiafoe is American?
Oh, it's a lot of it.
And we just had 4th of July.
It's a lot of
like,
it, yeah.
This is just, I don't know who either of you are, but hey, this guy's from my country.
And I'm here. Let's go.
Let's do it. That's how the Olympics work for me. I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
It's no disrespect to any of these athletes. Like, I'm sure that they're amazing athletes. I mean, this guy's 29th in the world out of how many tennis players, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's just, I don't watch the sport, so I don't know who they are. But, I mean, hey, celebrated some freedom yesterday. Let's do some more right now.
Let's get after it.
Let's do it.
And this, I'm with you too. A lot of it, like with Olympics or any of these kind of sports, I will kind of randomly root for the American. Just, mm-hmm. Again, that's where we're from, the whole thing.
Like the curling thing that happened a few Olympics ago in the winter. Like it was just four random dudes, it looked like, and they're out there winning curling, like handily.
But it does make it easier when, you know, Tiafoe's like 26 years old.
Yeah.
He's never won a major tournament, so it's kind of like
this. He's like an underdog. This
could be like a major win for him, and he is growing a little bit here.
3.5 hours this game has been going on.
Wow.
3:25.
That was something we talked about on Wednesday, and it again has just gotten me so much more respect for tennis players than maybe I originally had.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they are just playing forever, it feels like. Like an NFL football game is about 4 hours, but there's a lot of pauses in the action.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
these guys do get breaks between sets.
They do, and you see it, but it's not anything like 10, 15 minutes.
No,
it's
you're
like
sitting
you get
on
a
little
5 minute water break.
You're sitting on a little like kind of comfy looking chair.
Yeah, I think Tiafoe had to change his shirt.
Yeah,
at one point, like it's pretty. All right, get up and go.
Right.
And
by the way, these guys are serving at 130 miles an hour.
3.5 hours into their match.
Well, they've started to go down now. I mean, Alcaraz just had one that was 124, but his peak was 132 last set.
But the thing is, like, they're still at a high level 3.5 hours into this match. It really is incredibly impressive.
At this point, it's not skill anymore. It's who has the most stamina.
Yeah, it's a war of attrition.
And I think it looks like Alcaraz is probably going to take this one.
I mean, he is the better player.
Yeah, but it's 1-1 right now. Like, you still have at least 5 games to go.
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way, a game is from what we've learned, when you get a point, you get 15 on the scoreboard. And when you get to 40, you got to get one more point to win.
Mm-hmm. But you do have to win by 2.
Right. So if it's 40-40, it goes into the advantage and the tiebreakers and all that stuff.
All that fun, yeah.
If it's like 40-30, you'd still win if you got it the next point. So it's a little confusing to learn because 40 points
especially
is 1 point.
I watch these like kind of on mute.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
at
for
low
sure.
volume.
But I love the review. Like,
it's
that
so
is
fast.
So clear and it's so fast. And you don't need Gene Steratore. Oh,
thank goodness we don't need Gene Steratore. But like, it's fun seeing this and then also another sport being played over in Europe, the Euros, soccer, and how VAR just takes forever.
Yeah.
And they're using similar technology, and tennis is just like, we've been at this. Like, we know what we're doing. It's done in 30 seconds, in, out, whatever, move on. And I love that. So we'll be giving you kind of updates throughout the afternoon on Wimbledon and this match specifically, because this is the match we've been locked in on. For today, though, because we are, Josh, kind of close to the start of training camps in the NFL.
Which is weird.
It feels wrong, right? Like, it feels like we were just like, all right, everyone's wrapped everything up. Now we've got a summer break. And it's like, you really have about 4 weeks. Like, you've got a month. And with that, I did kind of want to go into a little bit more of a deep dive on the AFC East and, of course, the Bills in general, because I do believe there is this kind of underlying feeling of, I would almost say, a lack of confidence with the Bills because of the lack of moves that were made. There doesn't really seem to be any sort of move to replace Stephon Diggs. Instead, I would argue the Bills have kind of gone the opposite sense of, we don't need a number one wide receiver. We need a committee of good wide receivers. And that is definitely going to be interesting to see how that plays out for the Bills. Because if it goes well, do we all of a sudden lean now into the Bills really are never going to spend high on a wide receiver? They're always going to kind of do the just put it together every year, a few one-year contracts. We'll maybe draft a guy in the first or second round, and they don't really ever do anything. Or if this year is a disaster and we're constantly having problems of guys getting open, guys playing consistently, do all of a sudden then we're right back to where we were February? I want to know when the wide receiver trained. February? And it's that again where we're talking about Luther Burden from Missouri and stuff like that of like, okay, that's the guy. Like, gotta go get him.
Right.
It's going to be really, really interesting. So that's on the Bills. Want to talk a little bit about the wide receiver room and really some other areas that maybe we aren't too confident in with the Bills. The AFC East, the rest of it.
Mm.
Tua's contract situation and really a decimated Miami Dolphins defense. The Jets and the Aaron Rodgers situation. He's 40 years old, coming off an Achilles. I don't really care too much that he missed mandatory minicamp to go to Egypt. That's fine and dandy. I mean, he was at every other voluntary workout. I have no problem with it. And then the Patriots. I think the Patriots are quietly maybe the most interesting team in the AFC East, mm-hmm. because if Drake May hits, they are immediately the more valuable team long-term than the Jets or Miami.
Let me tell you something. If he hits like how he does in the Madden video game,
right, it's over.
The AFC East is screwed.
And I'm a big Drake May guy.
Yeah.
I am too. I never understood the... I like Jaden Daniels a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Drake May did more with less, in the sense of North Carolina was bad the last 2 years. His right. best receivers have been Josh Downs, his redshirt freshman year, and then Tez Walker, his sophomore year. And this is a guy that was dominating the ACC. Not a great league by any means, but putting up great numbers, has all the physical tools you want, and is younger. I think the Patriots got a steal in May, and there's been a lot of talks with him. So let's start there. There's been a lot of talk with the Patriots and kind of where they're going. They've really, really restarted everything. Gerard Mayo's in at head coach. They very much kind of are changing up their personality. You're even seeing it with their social media posts of like there's more personality with the Patriots than there has been in 25 years.
Yeah, because they let go of the least personality type person
yep.
ever. But it's weird because Belichick is kind of fun.
Yeah, when he's outside of the locker room.
When he's in the media, maybe it's part of his old coaching persona of like, mm-hmm. you don't want to be friends with the players. And I kind of get that, I guess. But like, it feels like it went to the whole organization, because now it feels like its whole organization is like free and they're trying to be fun. And everyone's like, who are you?
That's how it feels too. Yeah. Like this weight off of everyone's shoulders of we can relax. And you're like, mm-hmm. that's never, I think never really a good place to be at when you're at work, is when you're just stressed and constantly uptight and ready to go. But they won a lot. So
right.
there was clearly something to it.
Yeah.
But when I look at the Patriots now, it is a team that I don't even care what they do this year, how they look this year overall. As long as Drake May has signs of, oh, there's something there, they maybe nailed this, and they draft a ton of young wide receivers, two of which I was a huge fan of, Javon Baker and Jalen Polk, I was a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
They add guys like KJ Osborne. They already had Kendrick Bourne, who's pretty darn good. He's not bad by any means. We'll see what's going on with Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm not really that high on him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough young talent there where there maybe could be something.
I think the focus should really be on Jalen Polk and Javon Baker,
though. I think so, too. And, and build that relationship with Drake May.
Yeah.
And on that point, Josh, I don't know where you sit with this. I think May should start week one. Regardless if he's mm-hmm. ready or yeah. not, I would have him start. Ooh.
If he looks shaky in training camp, I don't think he should start. If he has anything above average or above for training camp, mm-hmm. like if it's like, hey, this is what we expected, or hey, he's pretty good, or he's really exceeding. Yeah. Anything above average, he should start training camp. Or he should start week one, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
If he has anything below an average training camp, or if he looks shaky, he looks okay some days but not great every other day, I don't think you should start him. Just because of the fact that this rebuild that they're doing
mm-hmm.
should take a little bit of time. Yes, you have a somewhat decent defense. You have a few good names on there. You still have Matthew Judon. You have Josh Uche. You have Kyle Duggar. Christian Gonzalez will be coming back from injury. So
he was very good mm-hmm. at the start of last year.
So there are good names on your defense. So you're not really working on building that. Your offense really just needs a bit of a stronger foundation at wide receiver. And yep. I think Jalen Polk and Javon Baker can start that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily want to rush Drake May, because you don't want to put him in there, oh my God, he's terrible in the first 4 weeks, we have to come up with something else. And then have him in, let's say, a year or two, blossom into this great quarterback and you have already let him go or something like that. Like mm-hmm. it's got to be this delicate balance of, we want to get back to where we were as quickly as possible, but we need to make sure we have the right pieces surrounding him first.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it's not him that's the problem, it's the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also on top of all this, at the very top, is you got to find out what you have in your coach.
Oh, with Mayo, yeah.
Where you have to find out if Gerard Mayo is going to be your coach for, obviously not as long as Belichick, but for a decent amount of time.
That is the hope.
Well, obviously, yes. Everyone wants a coach that's there as long as Belichick was. But you have to find out if he's going to work as your guy for a long period of time. And if he's not, you're going to have to change that pretty quickly, because if you get a lot of these rookies set in the ways of this head coach, it's going to be hard to put them into somebody else four years down the road.
I'm at a point, and specifically with rookie cornerbacks, you've mm-hmm. got to find out fast if they've got it. These guys are coming in far less raw than they did, I'd even say, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where before, it really was, hey, they should probably sit, marinate. It's a little bit like wine. It gets better with age kind of deal. Now, quarterbacks coming in, college and pro systems, are not as different as they were before. And to be perfectly honest, it's a year in which, who cares if Jacoby Brissett wins you 6-7 games? Brissett's not your future. He's not really even your present. He's more, at best, truly just a bridge quarterback. And what is honestly the difference if May starts after week 6 compared to starting the season early? And I know there are outliers in there. I know Josh Allen is somebody. I would have much rather him just out of camp he's starting instead of the half that we got with Nathan Peterman, because that felt ridiculous.
Well, to be fair,
but he's talked openly about those three weeks where he had an injury following the Houston game and got to just kind of sit back, watch Derek Anderson play. It did a lot for him. I think it also does a lot for you, though, after your rookie year of getting to kind of step back, settle down. All right, things didn't go amazing, but there were some good moments, what have you. You can kind of reset everything. I think you get ultimately the same outcome there. And again, for Mayo, even too, he's not in a situation that, let's say, Matt Nagy was a few years ago with Chicago, with Justin Fields.
That was where an awful situation.
It was disastrous.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I'm literally on the hot seat.
Immediately.
I have Andy Dalton here who has won games in the NFL. I'm just going to build an offense around him to save my job.
Right.
Instead of worrying about the top 15 pick him and the Bears used on a quarterback. And it set Fields up for a disaster right from the word go. Well, Fields may not have turned out to be anything anyways, but that definitely wasn't a good start to that at all.
Well, and with that, though, I think that's more on the GM than the coach, because, I mean, I don't know who their coach or GM was at the time. I'm trying to remember. But at that point, you have to have a conversation with your head coach. Like, yes, we are questioning your abilities as a coach, but this season is not going to determine that. Because when you're looking at that specific year for the Bears, you can't... I always thought that Matt Nagy got a little bit of an unfair hand in that situation. Mm-hmm. Just because of the fact that you're telling me he has to go in there in an evaluation year, pretty much, and go in with a rookie quarterback that you don't know if he can be an elite talent.
Yeah.
You're just hoping that he can be, because that was the one that was available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sit there and say, yeah, buddy, good luck. If you suck, we're going to fire you.
Yeah, you're
and
gone.
You're probably going to suck.
Yeah, like, it's probably not going to go well. You're
so that's gone. So that's where it's like, I always thought that was unfair, because you kind of have to have this understanding of like, yeah, we know you're going to suck and it's probably not on you, but let's see what you can do to develop this quarterback and see how things go. If it goes terrible, we're still going to fire you. But if it's got... you know, bits and pieces, then we're going to try to see what we can do.
I remember at the time, though, with that, too, it was everyone kind of assumed Matt Nagy should have been fired that offseason.
Yeah.
And it was weird that they kept him and then, gave him a rookie quarterback, because it was just this awkward, uncomfortable situation.
Right, or, it should have been that, too, where it's like, all right, we're going to go in a completely different direction, and you're not part of it.
But so on that, Mayo is coming in, this is year one, the Patriots very much seem comfortable with a rebuild and the long process it's going to take. And the reason why I wanted to start with the Patriots, and now... open up the phone lines, 803-0550 is the number to call. What team does scare you as a Bills fan in the long term? I think in the short term, I think it is either between the Jets or the Dolphins. For me, it's a little bit more the Jets. The Dolphins have not proven to me even once in the last 5-6 years of the Allen run that they can compete with the Bills long term or even in the short term, by game-to-game basis. But the Patriots, I do look at and get a little nervous about looking down the road 2-3 years from now of they're building it correctly. They, instead of going for a quarterback that's quote-unquote pro-ready, Tua, Mac Jones, what have you, they went for a guy who maybe is a little more raw, tape is a little shaky at times, but has all the physical traits in the world. Drake May has a ton of Josh Allen-like qualities in his game. He runs like he is not afraid of anything. He's quite quick. He's 6'4". He's got a bazooka for an arm. And for him as well, in where I take it, and this is always kind of a deal breaker for me, he is much younger than guys like Jaden Daniels or Penix. He's coming in at 21, 22 years old. Those two are 24, almost 25 years old. Bo Nix even throwing in there as well. And so with that, it does feel like the Patriots are going to take the, you know, the long route here. But look back to the Bills when they drafted Josh Allen. They gutted the roster, knew they were going to be bad that first year. Coming off a playoff appearance, by the way. The Patriots aren't even doing that. The Patriots haven't won a playoff game in years, and they haven't been a competitive team in a number of years. Bills came off a playoff appearance, gutted the roster, but by year two, they're back. They're 8-3 going into Dallas for Thanksgiving, and they haven't missed the playoffs since. I think the Patriots are setting up something similar, and that does scare me. Because if Drake May does hit, and I am a May fan, and I like his game a lot, and I do like what the Patriots are doing. You just look at their draft as well, like we brought up, Javon Baker and Jalen Polk. Going to get two solid young wide receivers that everybody in the draft was basically like, oh, they should at least be good wide receivers in the NFL. They may not be elite. They may not be like your clear-cut number one 1,400 yards every year, but they should be good wide receivers in the league. The Patriots do scare me long-term. Not this year, but I will be keeping an eye on them much longer and much more kind of in-depth because that feels like a team that is actually dangerous.
I think that's the other important part about Drake May, too, is like you said, he's very Josh Allen-like. So my point earlier about how, like, if he's shaky in training camp, don't start him, that's a very small percentage chance of happening. He's probably,
he looks like a disaster.
He's probably going to look very good at training camp, depending obviously depending on, you know, how he adjusts to New England's offense and things like that. But if I'm New England, I'm, hey, what do you want to do? For offense.
What makes your life easier to start?
How can we make your life easy? Right.
Because if you look even at the Bills with Allen, it started initially off, they had a lot of big wide receivers. It was much more catch radius based and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it became, all right, that's not working. What does work for you is guys like Isaiah McKenzie, more separation speed guys, a little bit smaller too. And now we've seen since.
It did partially work with Allen in terms of like right out of the gate. I think mainly because of his arm, right? Like, that was like the Bills were learning what Allen needed and Allen learning what he needed. And that's where we've gotten to this fine-tuned, like, you'll see most plays are these short to medium passes, and then every once in a while, boom, he uncorks it, and it's this 90-yard touchdown.
Looking like, back at his rookie year, I watched some of his rookie highlights tonight, like, in somewhat preparation for this. He was surviving based off of he can make one big bazooka throw a game. I was thinking the Jacksonville one to Robert Foster where you're just like, how did he do that?
Yeah.
And his legs.
Right.
The fact that no one really knew how good of a runner he was and how difficult he would be to bring down, it made his life at least salvageable where you do see like with some of these quarterbacks, Zach Wilson might be a perfect example of this. He could throw on weird angles and stuff like that. He did a lot in BYU. We've even seen a little bit of it with the Jets. He had nothing to kind of like hold his game up for a little while he developed. And then the Jets were bad. Like the Bills roster that year, that first year, was not good. Good defense, bad offense. And they needed to go into free agency to get guys like Cole Beasley, John Brown, and such. The Patriots, I'm going to be interested in with what they do with May. Because while I like the receivers they got, it's a lot of rookies. And that's where it could become kind of a year where you just throw your hands up if it goes poorly. But man, in the long term, I do look at them and just go, no one else is really doing this. I mean, the Jets have a 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, right. The Jets are the exact opposite of the Patriots right now. And that's...
And what's the backup plan? I mean,
for the Patriots?
None. No, for the Jets.
Oh, okay. Right. You have Aaron Rodgers and
hope and pray.
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, and no disrespect to Tyrod Taylor, I think he'd be better than Aaron Rodgers at this point. Like,
well, we'll see.
Okay, think about it.
We'll see.
Aaron Rodgers was having foot pain on the day one of OTAs.
That's right. That did happen.
Forget that. He was sitting on a little gator, rubbing his feet. On day one,
the Jets are going to be so interesting this year, and that's
this year should have been the year they did Hard Knocks on them because
this is the thing though with the Jets, and this is why long term they just don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a finite window they have.
Oh yeah,
to be competitive, it's a finite window.
It's half of this season,
and if it goes poorly,
that's all it is.
It's done.
Don't get me wrong; they have a good defense. Sauce Gardner is incredible. Quinnen Williams is really good.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming along on that aspect. It's almost in the same vein as the Patriots right now because the Patriots have like a decent amount of guys on defense. Yep. I feel like that's how you normally see these rebuild teams, is their defenses are usually pretty good, but everything else is just
defense
not
be solid,
firing.
And then we'll work the offense in as we go, especially with the young quarterback. It is interesting. But for them specifically, I think it's such a small window that even if it goes well this year, you can't plan on 25-26. You can't.
No.
It's all year to year. There's not really much planning. They should do something where they draft a young quarterback in like round one this year. They probably won't because it's going to upset Rodgers. And if it goes well, they're not going to want to do that.
Right.
But if it goes poorly, you're going to want to go back to a rookie quarterback. The problem is, if it goes poorly, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are out of a job, and we're starting this all over again for the Jets. It's just, it's not sustainable by any means, and you see how the Jets talk about it. They do talk about it like, this is it, we're going to win a Super Bowl this year.
Let's say the Jets go, what's a mediocre record for the Jets?
9-8.
9-8?
Haven't made the playoffs in years. You go 9-8, somewhat in a playoff hunt, maybe. Maybe even make the playoffs as a wild card.
What does Rodgers do if the Jets finish 9-8? Does he retire?
I think he's always been pretty close to retiring anyways. I think he could do that if they win the Super Bowl this year.
Because if they go on a winning season, they break their playoff drought. I think he'd retire.
I think there's a good chance of that.
Because he'd be the guy that broke the Jets' playoff drought.
Yep, and you'd never necessarily see him play badly.
Right.
He could hold that up on his resume.
Yeah, even though
the same with Tom Brady as well. You never really saw me play bad.
Even though he didn't finish on top of the Super Bowl like Brady, he can still say, hey, I went out on top. I was in the playoffs till the very end.
Yep.
If they have anything close to a losing record, he's not leaving.
You think so?
Yeah. I think anything less than 9-8 and he stays for another year. Because he's not going to want to leave on the bottom. He's not going to want to, he's that kind of guy, I feel like. And in a way, that's cool because it's like, competitiveness. In another way, it plays right into that ego that we always see with Aaron Rodgers.
That kind of everyone is sort of seeing and commenting on.
What's so funny about that situation is both ways the Jets are in a terrible situation.
Not a good spot.
Because if he wins well, or if he plays well and they win, but they don't win the Super Bowl, well, yes, you broke the playoff drought. But hey, now he's going to retire, and you have a bad draft pick.
Yeah.
And if he plays
poorly, you didn't already have a rookie. Like, you didn't already have a Jordan Love on your roster.
Right.
Hey, we can go right to him.
If he loses, but I guess doesn't play poorly, it's not really on him, but they just don't have a winning record, and he comes back, you have a good draft pick, but you're not going to draft a quarterback because he's going to get upset.
Mm-hmm. It's a
lose-lose situation.
It's a weird spot for the Jets to be in. It's super interesting looking at it from the outside looking in. But yeah, I would not want to be a Jets fan by any means. Got to take a quick timeout here. If you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Which team are you most worried about in the long term as a potential Bills rival and in the short term as well? Steve, we'll get to your call after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR. Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I still like the Buffalo Bills. I still believe that Josh Allen is the best quarterback in that
Well, I'm not denying
division.
That. I'm not denying that. I don't think anybody's better than Josh Allen. I just think Buffalo's going to need more than Josh Allen. They're having a personality transplant. I think the Jets are in a better situation than Buffalo, personally, as long as they're healthy.
There's Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. Smith talking a little bit about the AFC East there, the Buffalo Bills. I just don't know how you think the Jets are in a better situation right now. The Bills, yes, this year may be a little bit worse just due to the fact of they've had a lot of exodus of older talent and even talent that was still producing, but they're much younger and they're going to have a good bit of cap space going into next year and a lot of draft picks as well to continue that rotation forward. And yeah, Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in football and easily the best quarterback in that division by quite a margin. It's time now to get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's go to Steve on the line. Steve, good afternoon, my friend. How are we doing today?
We're doing pretty good. In terms of this year, you know, I still think Buffalo is probably going to cruise to the division title, but next year, you know, I think Miami's going to move on from Tua. I think this is going to play out like how it did with Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, where he's going to have to prove it. And I think the owner of the Dolphins has tried to move on from Tua every chance he could. And, you know, with a new innovative young defensive coordinator and an innovative head coach, I'm kind of curious at what quarterback they're going to go after next year in free agency, even if they made a trade for Stafford or somebody. That owner is in his upper 80s and he wants to win. And I think they're going to trade picks next year and they're going to try to do something within the next 3 years to go all in and win this division.
Steve, I like where your head's at, because I have not heard many people actually say that they believe Miami's going to move off to a. You mentioned Stafford there. Do you have anyone that you're just kind of at this point right now, July 5th, that you do think is going to be a Dolphin? Because, I mean, the other guy that's kind of being talked about that's not getting a big contract is Dak.
I checked some of the cap stuff. Stafford is tradable, and they're not going to give him that extension that he wants. I think he's only going to get the contracts for like $25 million next year and $15 million the year after that with the 2 years left on his deal. I haven't looked at what Dak is, but I would be most concerned about Stafford, not that he doesn't have his injury issues, but I think that's going to play out like how Brady went to Tampa, where Stafford's going to go to Miami, especially with the Florida tax break. I think they can make a deal there, but they're going to do something. They're going to use those draft picks that they have. They haven't had a first in a while. They're going to do something big next year to try to win in the next 2 years.
Steve, man, thanks for the call. That's hot. I would love just the discourse if Tua is not paid by the Dolphins. He goes into this year with no long-term contract. He would have the final year of his deal, but staring down the barrel of, you're going to be a free agent here, man, and the team that drafted you, even though, like, you, and that's Tua is such an interesting quarterback to talk about because, like, he has the stats. You look at last year, he led the league in passing yards. He made the playoffs. But then, like, if you do, like, he's going to be an interesting quarterback 20 years from now when, like, you're in a generation that didn't outright watch him. They just heard about him. It is going to be, I think he's going to be an interesting conversation of, but he led the league in passing. He had 4,600 passing yards this year, and he had, you know, 35 touchdowns here. And it'll be a lot of people that watched those games, you know, growing up or, you know, in their 20s going, it was all Mike McDaniel. Like, he had, you know, he had Tyreek right, Hill and right. Jalen Waddle. And I think that's maybe interesting to me as well when it comes to the Dolphins. They paid Jalen Waddle. There is already now feelings that they're going to let Tyreek Hill go relatively soon to keep things cheap. I mean, they already had to gut most of their defense because of where they were at cap-wise. And if they do pay Tua, along with having Jalen Waddle paid and Tyreek Hill paid, that is going to be a substantial amount of their cap space on three guys, one of which, maybe the most important position in sports, most if not all kind of agree he's a system quarterback, maybe the best system quarterback. He might be the best system quarterback. He is deadly accurate, and he does run the Mike McDaniel system nearly perfectly. But they are such a fascinating team. And why I can't jump on them, and Steve is saying that, you know, long-term he's really worried about Miami, they cannot beat winning teams. They cannot play
right, yeah.
away from Miami.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mentality thing. That's all I can get to at this point with them is something mentally changes when they play a winning team or play away from home.
The one team that they could play well that was a winning team was the other team that couldn't beat a winning team, Dallas.
Right.
So even that win was like an asterisk where it's like it was two bad teams playing each other. Like one of you did and technically could have tied, but one of you had to win.
I think that's an interesting topic though because like – or it leads me to like what I think is an interesting topic because where would Tua go if he goes to free agency?
I think that's that to me too. Like, but like, and I brought up Dak there too. Like right now, the Cowboys aren't really doing anything there.
My bet would be some NFC South team, New Orleans, that's kind of in quarterback purgatory right now, and would just.
Tampa, though, just paid Baker. So it's,
that's true. I forgot.
But also, and then you got Atlanta with everything they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with two quarterbacks.
So it would be Carolina if Bryce Young's bad. New Orleans.
What about No.
Seattle could maybe be something.
I was looking at San Francisco if Brock Purdy.
If it's we're gonna do this again.
No, if it's a one and done with Brock Purdy, what's San Francisco gonna do? Because you have an elite offense in San Francisco, but you don't really have an elite quarterback. And I'm not saying that Tua is an elite quarterback, but I don't know, because it was 1 year of greatness from Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
But how great really was he? That's the whole debate of him being a systems quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And if Tua is the quote-unquote perfect systems quarterback, where else would you rather have him go than be with Kyle Shanahan, who has probably the greatest system in football?
Oh, man, that would be
Could you imagine? Matchup,
actually.
Like, I feel like then that would, like you said, 20 years from now, that would change the conversation even further.
Yeah.
Is he a good quarterback, or was he just with good coaches?
Well, especially he would continue the San Francisco system that he's already been using with Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of just he's going from the apprentice to the master.
Right. So you'd even get an even better system if you go to San Francisco if you're Tua.
That is interesting.
But this all, like I said, this all hinges on if Brock Purdy can keep going. Right. I mean, Brock Purdy's story last year was pretty cool, but
we all know how I feel about Brock Purdy.
Hey, listen, he got the money, he got the check, he got the job done. Good for him.
Yeah.
He will always be the Mr. Irrelevant that came in and was, boom, ready to go.
That's actually very fair, yeah.
But at the same time, no one's going to remember that if he can't continue after. Like, if it's a one-year wonder, everyone's going to just remember him as a one-year wonder.
He's had 2 years now. He's had two.
True, but
he's had two.
One of them was drastically different than the other, I feel.
Well,
like.
Yeah, last year I think he was the first San Francisco quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards, which feels really wrong.
Yeah.
Knowing that Steve Young and Joe Montana were there.
Yeah, but Steve Young used his legs.
He was a big runner as well, and they did the West Coast offense, mm-hmm. like the original West Coast, so they didn't really throw the ball deep. I mean, Brock Purdy is also another guy that's going to, not to jump on the NFC real quick.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take you over there, but it's just, I just look at it like, again, like you said, going from the apprentice to the master, if you're Tua, has to be
And you've
appealing.
Already seen a guy like Brock Purdy who, I think Tua would argue, and I think you could argue correctly, I'm better than.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and you're like, he threw 4,200 yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 picks. I can do that, especially with the talent they have. I think they're going to sign Brandon Ayuk. I'd be quite surprised if they really did let him go. You got Debo Samuel. You got Chris McCaffrey still there. The problem is, though, you're not getting Tua for cheap. I don't believe so.
No.
Just how the quarterback market goes. I don't think they could afford him, to be perfectly honest, especially with getting Ayuk. Yeah. Now, on the Dolphins as kind of a whole and where they're at, they're fast. They're very interesting. They signed a lot of guys that were interesting names from a few years ago, namely Odell Beckham Jr. They have Jalen Ramsey still there, Jordan Poyer if you want him. I mean, yes, former Bill, but we all kind of saw him as, you know, Bills fans. Didn't really have a lot left in the tank by the end. I think it was I was somebody that thought he would retire after this year, especially his body took a beating these last two seasons. I will always remember Poyer for having to drive to Kansas City because he could not get on a plane because of the injuries he was sustaining.
And he still played.
And he still played,
which is still well. That's one of the most incredible feats I think we've seen any Bills player do in the past
few years.
I also forgot, it's funny, I'm looking through their depth chart here. When did they sign Jonnu Smith? When did that happen?
I can't even remember when they signed
like, him. When was this? Where was I?
Yeah, I'm like remembering it. And I'm like, yeah, well, because Smith has kind of just been like a non-factor for a few years. He had that one really nice year in Tennessee, and everyone was kind of waiting for like the big pop. He went to New England after that, so everyone kind of was like, oh, they're, you know, New England, they're spending big in free agency.
Yeah.
They brought in Hunter Henry as well, and then just nothing, a non-factor.
Last year, he had 582 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
So,
but you even look at like Miami with their offensive line is a disaster. It has been for a while. Their best guy is Teron Armstead, and he can't stay healthy. Simply put, can't stay healthy.
Well, and even their defensive line, like look at Jalen Phillips, or that's linebacker, I guess, but still.
Yeah, but we know where he's lining up. He's lining up on the line. It's the same with Von Miller.
Right. Yeah, but like they had a lot of injuries last year.
Bradley Chubb, who they, you know, big trade, didn't do a ton in his first run with Miami. Much better this last year. 11 sacks.
Yeah.
But you wonder, you know, what's really going to happen there. I like their defensive line a little bit more. For me, it's much more the O-line. But they also lost Christian Wilkins on the D-line. So how much does that affect Bradley Chubb?
That is a big piece.
That's the thing. I can't look at Miami right now with a ton of confidence. Namely, and this is as someone that watches the Bills and watches Bills-Dolphins, Their defense, even when it was had their stars, simply could not stop Allen. It oftentimes could not do it. Then they lost a ton of pieces on defense. And last year, when everything was going your way, when everything looked like it was coming up Dolphins land, and it was like, perfect, you know, the Bills aren't that good this year, we've got it, we're moving on, you have a disaster class against the Tennessee Titans. Disaster. One of the worst blow-ups we've ever seen. And that was a team that was 9-3. They ultimately only fall to 9-4 there. You beat a Jets team, the Cowboys that we mentioned, where, you know, whatever, they also were kind of bad against good teams. And then the final 2 weeks of the season, you lose to Baltimore, in which if you win these games, you win the division, you get to host playoff games. They lose to Baltimore 56-19.
I still remember watching that. That was so fun.
And then against Buffalo. And while like that game was fun, the Bills weren't playing particularly well. They were shooting themselves in the foot like a lot that they did last year constantly.
Yeah.
And they still lost 21-14, mainly because your quarterback couldn't make a throw to the sideline. I can't look at Miami yet.
Allen in that game, by the way,
is a real threat. I can't.
Allen in that game had 359 passing yards.
Did he really?
Two touchdowns, two interceptions.
I feel like he had way less.
30 for 38.
Wow. I'm remembering that game really for like the toe-tapping touchdown of the tipped-up ball, the early picks. No, that's right. He started the game where you're just like, oh, this is going to be a – they're going to run him over.
Yeah, and then he was just like, just kidding. Boom.
And there were some bad turnovers.
Yeah.
But I can't get there with the Dolphins.
I can understand
why with Miami I can. They have been good for the last few years. They've dealt with poor injuries as well. I'd love to see what they were in 22 if Tua doesn't get hurt.
That was his third best game of the year in completion percentage.
Was it really?
78%. The other two were the Raiders game and then the other Miami game where he had 84% completion rating. Remember that game? That was when they came off of the 70-point performance against the Broncos and then the Bills beat them 48-20.
Yeah, I can't take that team seriously as a rival to the Bills for the sheer reason of every single time you have a moment to like vault over Buffalo and like start establishing yourself as like, no, we're the kings of the AFC East. They fall flat. And it's in these games against the Bills. Yes, last year it started with the loss to Tennessee, but it also started, like you brought up, you put 70 points on a Denver Broncos team. Oh, everyone was talking about it. It was so cool, so amazing.
Yeah.
And then you get blown out by Buffalo. You give up, what, 45 points? It was never even close.
It was 48.
48 points.
48-20.
Disaster.
Question, though. Mm-hmm. If this continues, if the Dolphins keep having these games and these seasons where it's, you know, you look really great, you're basically inconsistency, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're always falling short. When does it start? When does the conversation start to shift to Mike McDaniel?
Ooh, I think this year.
Yeah, I think that's what I think too. But the problem is, I don't think that's fair for him.
I agree.
Because I think he is dealing with a quarterback that doesn't work for him,
mm-hmm.
but he's just making it work because he's that good of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has great wide receivers around him. I think any other starting quarterback in the league with Miami would be better than Tua on the Dolphins' current system with their current build.
Yep.
And that's counting in a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And I said starters, so don't come at me and say, you know, oh, what about Jarrett Stidham?
I mean, don't
or something
wrong.
Like that.
I have thought a lot about, like, if Mike McDaniel was the coach of, say, Justin Herbert, who I think does leave a lot to be desired as a mm-hmm. starting quarterback. I think we've gotten there at that point with Herbert where we can start being honest. He leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
But if you give him that physical talent with a coach who was like, no, we're going to throw deep. We're going to have fast wide receivers.
Yeah.
I wonder what the division would look like. I really do. Because the Bills have left open some chances for opposing AFC East teams to take advantage. They've lost to Zach Wilson twice in 2 years.
Yeah.
They've lost to the Patriots. They've seemingly have not really lost to the Dolphins all that much outside of the, you know, the heat wave game.
The one time where they sat you in the sun.
But they have left open opportunities, and teams have not taken advantage long term or even in the short term. If there was a different, and that's where the Patriots come in and frighten me, is because if they do get a quarterback that has that difference-making ability, it could get interesting real fast. Got to take a quick time out here. We have some responses. I tweeted out, which team in the AFC scares you the most over the next few years? We'll read some of your tweets. Also, always looking for your calls, 803-0550 if you want to join the conversation. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on a Friday, and you're listening to WGR. Happy Friday, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here. Hope you had a wonderful 4th of July holiday. I had some good food. The menu's been the same for years, Josh, and every year, me and my brother were talking about it. There's meatballs in barbecue sauce that's at my uncle's house, and every year, we're both texting each other about it. Like, have you been thinking about them? Yup, ready to go. It's fantastic. Love it.
Meanwhile, while you were just telling that story, I'm watching a fireworks display gone wrong in Utah. They had, like, in a football stadium, these, like, the mortars set up.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, I think it went off prematurely because it's still light outside, and I don't know why you're shooting off fireworks when it's, like, twilight.
Unless they're, like the ones that you just buy from home.
Oh, no, no, no. This is, like, a professional show.
Yeah, I know. So...
yeah.
But
sorry,
so
those are the best.
No, but
when they go off accidentally, it's just this big, huge.
No, because some of these are tipping over and shooting at the crowd.
That's not great.
And it hit one of the like band people. Like you literally get a clear image. I really hope everyone's okay. I'm not trying to laugh at this. If someone got hurt, that's really sad. I hope they're okay. But you get this clear image. It looks like it got struck by lightning. Like,
oh, man.
It the way the smoke trail comes in, it actually looks like it just misses them. But I'm sure that, like, some sparks definitely, you know, get up and hit you. But, like, this is crazy. And, like, some of them are coming right at the stands, like, at fans and stuff. Like, this is weird. It looks like something out of Harry Potter. Like, it looks like spells coming out of
I just
super random.
Because you said this is in Utah, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I just pulled up an article here from NBC News. Several people injured by stray fireworks at Utah 4th of July celebration.
Then
I'm not getting an actual number, but I mean, like you were saying though, like fireworks were like going into the stands and everything like that. It was in Salt Lake City. It was in a stadium. I don't know exactly what stadium, but yeah, that's.
I can't tell you. It looks like a college football
stadium. It does feel like every year though, there is a video or some kind of incident that happened with fireworks that is always just, I don't love fireworks. I don't. And a lot of it is this kind of stuff that just freaks me out. Like a few years ago, Jason Pierre-Paul.
This is at BYU.
Oh, okay. Okay. But. Like, Jason Pierre-Paul from a number of years ago was, like, the perfect example. I'm like, nope, I'm good. Like, I'll watch it from afar. Don't give me fireworks. Don't give me spring. Like, I'm good. I don't need that stuff. And I get it. Maybe a fear that I shouldn't have, but I do. And it has stuck with me for years. I don't mess with fireworks all that much. I can watch them from afar. I'm good. Watch them in videos, and that's fine.
It's wild because when you're watching this video, like, when I first watched it, I was almost kind of giggling a little bit because it looked CGI.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't look real. But now, obviously, of course, that we know the whole story, it's not funny at all. Like, this is very serious. But it's just crazy. Like you're a professional. How do you do this? Like,
there's a few of them. I remember, I think it was in Japan, maybe, from a few years ago. They were having, like, a fireworks display, and it was all computer-based, and just there was a glitch, and they all just went off together.
That happened in San Diego a few years ago, too. That
might be the one I'm thinking of.
That, though, that's kind of funny, because it's just a big glow of light.
And it looks so
cool.
And
you spent hours and hours planning all this stuff, and everyone in the crowd's like, well, you know, I was expecting to be here for a while, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, right, like, if that's like, it, not bad.
As long as, like, those ones are kind of funny, because it's like, well, you know what, you still got the show, but you got it in about 30 seconds when it should have been about an hour and a half.
And it does look kind of cool. Got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll read some of your responses on who you think is the Bills' biggest threat for the next few years. Also, of course, taking your calls, 803-0550, if you want to join the conversation. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on a Friday, and you're listening to WGR. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday. Friday, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here. Hope you had a wonderful 4th of July holiday. I had some good food. The menu's been the same for years, Josh, and every year, me and my brother were talking about it. There's meatballs in barbecue sauce that's at my uncle's house, and every year, we're both texting each other about it. Like, have you been thinking about them? Yup, ready to go. It's fantastic. Love it.
Meanwhile, while you were just telling that story, I'm watching a fireworks display gone wrong in Utah. They had, like, in a football stadium, these, like, the mortars set up.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, I think it went off prematurely because it's still light outside, and I don't know why you're shooting off fireworks when it's, like, twilight.
Unless they're, and, like the ones that you just buy from home.
Oh, no. This is, like, a professional show.
Yeah, I know. So...
Yeah.
But
sorry,
so
those are the best.
No, but
when they go off accidentally, it's just this big, huge.
No, because some of these are tipping over and shooting at the crowd.
That's not great.
And it hit one of the like band people. Like you literally get a clear image. I really hope everyone's okay. I'm not trying to laugh at this. If someone got hurt, that's really sad. I hope they're okay. But you get this clear image. It looks like it got struck by lightning. Like,
oh, man.
It the way the smoke trail comes in, it actually looks like it just misses them. But I'm sure that, like, some sparks definitely, you know, get up and hit you. But, like, this is crazy. And, like, some of them are coming right at the stands, like, at fans and stuff. Like, this is weird. It looks like something out of Harry Potter. Like, it looks like spells coming out of
I just
super random.
Because you said this is in Utah, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I just pulled up an article here from NBC News. Several people injured by stray fireworks at Utah 4th of July celebration.
Then
I'm not getting an actual number, but I mean, like you were saying, though, like it, fireworks were like going into the stands and everything like that. It was in Salt Lake City. It was in a stadium. I don't know exactly what stadium, but yeah, that's...
I can't tell you. It looked like a college football
stadium. It does feel like every year, though, there is a video or some kind of incident that happened with fireworks that is always just... I don't love fireworks. I don't. And a lot of it is this kind of stuff that just freaks me out. Like a few years ago, Jason Pierre-Paul...
This is at BYU.
Oh, okay. But... Like, Jason Pierre-Paul from a number of years ago was, like, the perfect example. I'm like, nope, I'm good. Like, I'll watch it from afar. Don't give me fireworks. Don't give me spring. Like, I'm good. I don't need that stuff. And I get it. Maybe a fear that I shouldn't have, but I do. And it has stuck with me for years. I don't mess with fireworks all that much. I can watch them from afar. I'm good. Watch them in videos, and that's fine.
It's wild because when you're watching this video, like, when I first watched it, I was almost... kind of giggling a little bit because it looked CGI.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't look real. But now, obviously, of course, that we know the whole story, it's not funny at all. Like, this is very serious, but it's just crazy. Like you're a professional. How do you do this? Like,
there's a few of them. I remember, I think it was in Japan, maybe, from a few years ago. They were having, like, a fireworks display, and it was all computer-based, and just there was a glitch, and they all just went off together.
That happened in San Diego a few years ago, too.
That might be the one I'm thinking of.
That, though, that's kind of funny, because it's just a big glow of light.
And it looks so
cool.
And
you spent hours and hours planning all this stuff, and everyone in the crowd's like, well, you know, I was expecting to be here for a while, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, right, like, if that's like, it, not bad.
As long as, those ones are kind of funny, because it's like, well, you know what, you still got the show, but you got it in about 30 seconds when it should have been about an hour and a half.
And it does look kind of cool. Got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll read some of your responses on who you think is the Bills' biggest threat for the next few years. Also, of course, taking calls 803-0550 if you want to join the conversation. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on a Friday, and you're listening to WGR. Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.